Welcome to the Inspired Culture. I'm your host, Eric Himes. Today's guest is someone who has turned service into a lifestyle, Paul Peters. He's a U.S. Army veteran, an author, and the founder of both a case management organization and a nonprofit that's changing lives around the world. Paul knows what it's like to rise from hardship and walk in purpose. And today, we're talking about how you can do the same. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. And we have a couple questions for you. So if somebody wanted to find out how they can go about finding their real purpose when life feels noisy and confusing, how would they go about doing that?
Well, what I tell people is a lot of times your purpose is not clearly given to you. In my first book, Discovering and Embracing Your Life Purpose, I opened it with a story about a couple who were expecting a child, and they got a letter from God. And in that letter, it basically laid out everything that the child was going to do, everything the child was going to be, as if there was a map. And I tell people, I said, that's not how God works. He basically begins to reveal parts of who you are and what his purpose for you in your life story. And so a lot of times some people don't discover their life purpose at all. And many of them discover it when they hit crisis like myself, and you begin to take a deeper look. You begin to look at the insight or the inside of why you did certain things. And often I tell people, the beginning starts when you ask the question, what am I here for? And when you begin to ask that question, you begin to look and seek for the answers. And in some respects, a lot of people just want it. They want that letter. They want that letter that says, here's what I'm supposed to do. But God's smarter than that. He knows, much like working out, you can't get instant muscles by just taking a pill. You have to work for it. And part of discovering your purpose is beginning to ask the question, starting to look inside yourself, try to ask people around you who know you, what are my gifts? What are my talents? So my whole venture in my whole life has been about discovering that. And then once I discovered it for myself, helping other people to kind of be that guide mentor for them.
I love that, Paul. And, you know, God knows best, and he never fails, right? And the reality is him having the ability to speak into and reveal things for people is incredible. I appreciate the work that you're doing in and around this because it's invaluable. And, you know, I have a similar story. I didn't know until later in life. And so I totally relate and resonate with you, and that, you know, God just unleashed some things inside. And my own story, it was your sharing this, is, you know, surrender and really surrendering everything and saying, God, take the wheel. I'm done driving. I'm done leading myself. What is it that you would have me do? I must know. And so, you know, as you're going through this, what helped you discover the purpose behind your platform? And why do people often ignore their calling? What are your thoughts on that, Paul?
Well, if I can just take a little time to tell you my story. So yeah. I'm the youngest of six. I grew up in Illinois in Carbondale, which is a southern part. There's a college there, Southern Illinois University. And so I grew up in a very troubled home. My dad was an alcoholic, very abusive. Mm. And at a point when I was probably about 15 months, my mom had to run away because he was abusing her. And he found us, and he proceeded to put 6 bullets in my mom. Thank God she did not die, but we were all separated as my mom was in recovery for a year. He ended up going to jail. I was told by my siblings that he did come back, tried to kidnap me. But we lost contact with him. He eventually passed away in 76, very lonely. So I grew up without a father. And so a big part of that for me was the struggles of what it means to find your sense of purpose, sense of manhood. I believe that God really wants the man and woman, the husband and wife, to be a big part of that. Revelation for a child, and a lot of children who grow up in single parent homes are struggling. As my mom, she had to work full time to raise 6 of us. So I went through a lot of difficulties growing up. And even when I got into my teens, I got into drug use, alcohol use, and it ultimately ended up where I wanted to take my own life. And there was a point, I was probably about 22. I was going to proceed to kill myself. And I heard a small voice. You know, some people wonder, it's like, how does God speak? Well, all I can say is just, he basically said, don't. I have a plan and a purpose. Little did I know that plan and purpose was going to be a 20-year venture to try to figure out what I was called to do. And you know, here I am now, many, many years later. I have a successful business. I'm a best-selling author, have a TV show. And it's not so much that it was me. It definitely wasn't. I go back to what you said. It's all about the surrender. It was a surrendering process of God breaking me down and helping me recognize, because when you're broken through life's trials, then you begin to listen. Because, you know, one of the struggles that many of us face, arrogance, pride, we refuse to listen. And we make the same mistakes over and over again. In my situation, you know, it almost took my life. And had I taken that step, I wouldn't have the beautiful children. I wouldn't have my fiance. There's so many things. And I just encourage people, listen to God, whatever it takes to get to that point of surrender. Nobody likes pain. The pain is the biggest teacher, the best teacher. And so for me, I ended up getting into the military because I lacked the discipline. I was 8 years in the military. I ended up working in the field that I currently work with people with disabilities. So I discovered in my own life choices, even though I didn't recognize consciously what I was doing, that God's hand was moving me in the direction he was going to take me to ultimately fulfill my purpose. And out of that came the nonprofit Nehemiah, Covenant Case Management Services, where I work with folks with disabilities. One of my children who's adopted is autistic. And so I primarily work with folks with developmental disabilities, mental health, substance abuse. So often God will play out the pieces, or whatever you want to call it, to just help us discover what we're called to do in life. And when we respond, we begin to almost wake up and recognize, oh my gosh, that's what I'm called to do. And then that's really what it was for me. It was a 20-year venture of recognizing the choices I was making, that God was working in my life choices to get me to a point where I'm at today.
Paul, that's an amazing story. Grateful that we're talking today, you know, and I just think a couple of things come to mind when you share that. You know, God was doing a work in you brick by brick for 20 years, laying down the foundation, skilling you up into the things that you needed to live out your calling. And so we have to go through that period of time of growth and development and listening and surrender and trusting, right? And trusting something, you know, and being faithful. And so you've done all of those things. And God is continuing to bless you and your family and give you the tools that you need to be successful, to live out the purpose and your calling that he's given you, which is absolutely incredible. It's an honor to be having this conversation with you. And I'm honored to know you. I think that's so, so incredible. And what a great story. And I agree totally that pain is one of the best things to help people grow, in that discomfort. You know, we talk about that all the time, that become uncomfortable being in discomfort, you know, and or be comfortable with discomfort, sorry. And that will take you far, you know, and you trusting God and hearing his voice and leaning in. What a great testimony that you have, that you are able to share here today, Paul, with that. It's so good.
Thank you. Well, there's principles in nature that point towards these struggles. You know, when you think about a seed, and a lot of this, you know, comes directly out of the scripture, but when a seed is planted, in order for it to grow for its, you know, its purpose, it has to die. It then, once it dies, it does basically goes through the process of rebirth, in a sense, and to be basically fight through the soil, the rocks, whatever, to be able to come up on the top and get the nutrients. And then ultimately, whatever it was born to do, it does. And I think that's the principle of us. You know, God often will take us, as there's scriptures in the Old Testament talk about the potter and the clay. In order for the potter, who is the creator, to formulate what the clay is meant to do, the clay has to yield itself to be pliable in order for the potter to create what it's called to do. If I can share a particular verse that was really inspirational for me, it's in Acts. It talks about that David lived out or fulfilled his purpose, and then he died. And that was revolutionary for me, because when we think about, and just David is a character in the Bible who was King David, every one of us is created for a purpose. And God is trying to get us to a point of surrender or yieldedness so that he could then form that purpose in us, not so much for us, but so that we can serve other people. And those that know the story of King David, he was the greatest king of Israel and had such an impact to this day. I mean, we see what's going on in the news today. I mean, when we surrender our purpose, it not only has an impact on our generation, but future generations, because many people who are Jewish think to King David as, you know, as the number one king of the Israelite nation.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, I love, and thank you for sharing that verse in Acts, because it's a heart condition. And for us, you know, and good soil, right? In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, it talks about good soil and, you know, and where your seed is planted. And so I appreciate that, because things come out of good soil and good hearts. But it requires a heart transformation, you know, and the Holy Spirit to work within us to give us that. And that's the only place it could come from. And I really appreciate you sharing that. And the other thing is pruning, right? And so as we grow, we got to be pruned. And that pruning's hard, but it creates space for new growth. And the dead goes, right? The things that serve us no more have to be taken away. And we have to prune that. And so we can have new growth, which provides new fruit. That's so neat, Paul.
Yeah. Can I tag on to that particular scripture you mentioned? There's two verses that pop. And one is, you know, is the pruning process, which I believe is in John chapter 16 or 15. And he basically talks about the Father is pruning. And one of the interesting things is in that scripture, it says, you can do nothing apart from me. And that part, that really is a picture of surrender. As we surrender, the strength that God gives us to do the things he's called us to do come from him. And there's another verse in James chapter 1 talks about count it all joy when you go through various trials, because in the process of the trials, you develop the character, because ultimately the character is what makes the man. We were talking earlier about Captain America being a man of integrity or character of integrity. And that's really what makes the difference between, you know, your show's inspired leaders, I believe. Inspired leaders are leaders who lead with integrity. And part of, you know, what God is trying to do is develop our character, our heart, so that we can be effective, so we can be better, quote unquote, lovers of one another and treat each other with kindness and respect. And God knows we need more of that today.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, we so do. And Paul, thank you for sharing that. You know, and we're coming up on a break here. And so, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you for this part of the show. And this has been really powerful for those watching who want to connect with you, whether through your work, nonprofit, or show. Where can they find you?
Paulpeters.online.
All right, Paul. Well, we'll catch you back here in a short moment break. And, you know, for everyone listening in and tuning in, there's a lot more to come from Paul as this show today has just been a huge blessing to have him on. So we're grateful for that, and we'll be back here in a moment.
We'll be right back. We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. We're here again with Paul Peters, veteran author, nonprofit leader, and host of On Purpose with Paul. In this segment, we're getting real about something many of us struggle with when our faith feels distant. Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you.
And
glad to be here. Thank you.
Yes. And I'm excited to unpack when our faith feels distant. So what do you say to someone who feels spiritually dry or disconnected?
Well, I can speak as one who's been there. You know, when I shared the last segment about contemplating suicide, and most people who contemplate that are at the lowest point in their life. They feel like they've lost hope. And faith is all about hope. You know, think about Hebrews 11:1 is faith is believing in the things unseen. And when we think about, you know, what is God? And God is a spirit. And so how do we relate to a spirit that we cannot see? And so, I mean, there's so many different aspects of what people struggle with. And a lot of times we were talking earlier about the importance of taking your thoughts captive and don't letting your thoughts run away from you, because then they're going to trigger emotions, and emotions are going to typically, if they're negative emotion, negative thoughts and negative emotions, they're going to lead to fear, anxiety, depression, those types of things. So I think it's very important. And a lot of people don't realize when they think of spirit what that is. And I think a lot of people need to understand, when we think about thoughts are not thoughts are not tangible. They're of the spirit realm. And when we talk about, like I shared before, when I was contemplating suicide and I heard a small voice, very rarely, you know, does God speak in an audible version. He has, and he can do whatever he wants, because he's the creator of the universe. But often he speaks through circumstances. And I think a lot of times people who are struggling in the faith element, especially if they've had some trials, and we talked about the importance of viewing trials from a positive perspective, because they refine and prune our character. But oftentimes, you know, it's interesting. I was sharing with my team yesterday, if I can kind of diverge a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going through this book of Job, and everyone knows the book of Job. They may have not read it, but they said Patience of Job. Job, from our perspective, was unfairly treated. He had pretty much life thrown at him, lost his family, lost everything. He owned. He was probably a billionaire in our, what compared to what our days would be. And he lost everything. And he almost to a point where physical health, everything was thrown at him. But yet he never turned. His attitude was always positive perspective in regards to, he said, you know, should we expect only good from God? And I think that's the biggest struggle people have in regards to, you know, they look to God for often when things are down, and they blame him for those circumstances, rather than taking the responsibility and recognizing that not everything, even though we struggle with the concept God's in complete control, he is, but there's often circumstances to the choices we make. And if we're really honest with ourselves and we want to pick ourselves up and be able to be the person we're called to be, if we stay in a victim mentality and blame God or blame somebody else, then it's just going to spiral out of control. And I think for me, I recognized that I had to take some responsibility in my choices that led to the drinking, led to the homelessness, led to all of those different things. And when I was able to shift that and recognize that I've got to take responsibility, God's going to guide and direct me. But if I continue to blame him and fault him, the very one who created me, the very one who wants the best for me, I'm cutting off the source of power. I'm cutting off that source of strength. Now, that's easy for me to say, but like I said, I have been where many are. And I recognize it's not something that of a snap of the finger, you're going to all of a sudden have this amazing faith in God. It is one step as you trust him. The faith element, walking in faith, is simply trusting him. He will not let you down. And if we always keep our eyes, quote, Jesus talks about keeping your eyes on him. When we keep our eyes on him, he's going to guide us and show us. There's verses in the scripture that talked about trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And he will do that. So when we're struggling in the faith element, give him a chance. He's not going to let you down, because ultimately he created each and every one of us for a purpose. And often the choices we make led us down that path where we're at our lowest point. And ultimately, when we decide or make the choice to end our life or to stay in misery, the only one who's really responsible is ourselves. And I know that's hard for people to realize, but God does not wish any of us to go through the mental health issues or the physical issues. He's there to help deliver us. He's there to get us through those difficult times. There's multiple stories within the scripture. So I think as people begin to ask those questions, as they're going through those trials, and they begin to reach out to him, have faith and trust in him that he's going to speak to you in whatever ways. We know the primary way God speaks is through his word, but there's ways that you can do that. And the other thing I wanted to share just popped in my head. Gratitude is the best solution to fear and anxiety. And when we're thankful, because oftentimes our focus, you know, there's a term where focus goes, energy flows. If your focus is on negative, you're going to draw negativity to you, and you're going to feel those negative emotions to you. But if you have a sense of gratitude, I woke up today. I have a place to sleep. I have a place to live. I have food to eat. I have a car. If you simply turn around and have a sense of joy and gratitude, you're going to find that your emotions are going to begin to shift. The other thing I encourage people who are maybe going through some sadness or depression is start walking, start exercising. If you're feeding your mind good things and you're not allowing the negativity to infiltrate your mind, it's not going to infiltrate your emotions. And we are emotion-based people. And so if you're doing things to exercise, because in ways I don't fully understand, but God created chemicals within us, good chemicals and bad chemicals. And those are triggered by action or activity. And if we're doing those things, I remember when I was going through a divorce, my counselor had recommended, because I wasn't clinically depressed, but I was very sad. And he said, you need to start walking and running. And I think I heard that you were a marathoner.
Yes.
And so there's certain chemicals that are released, the serotonin, maybe some others you probably can share on that, that are released to begin to get us out of that negative funk. And so, you know, first, I just encourage you to reach out to somebody who cares about you, reach out to somebody who loves you, stay encouraged, get into God's word, get around people who are going to really build you up to get you through that, who can demonstrate. Because one of the things I recognize with my life is when God got my attention, I really focused on mentoring. Mm-hmm. You know, Bible calls it discipleship.
Yes.
I have a mentorship program. We mentor at-risk kids because we don't want them go in the direction that many of their family members have gone. So mentorship, get around people who can inspire you, encourage you. And once you get your faith where it needs to be, then you turn around and do the same. And it's going to have a huge impact on your life.
I love that. You have said so many incredible things, Paul, and I'd love to respond to all of them. There's a, you know, because it hits home so close in so many ways. And, you know, I just want to say you have a beautiful heart, and I really appreciate the work that you're doing. The, you know, God, you know, James, in the book of James, you know, in the very beginning, it talks about that you will have challenge and trouble while you're living on this earth, right? And so one of the things that you had mentioned and which really resonated with me is God doesn't want us to go through the challenge, but we are going to be faced with it. And it's when we're faced with adversity, what do we do with it, right? And where do we lean into? Do we trust God? Do we look at what he's trying to teach us? Or do we come into a place of negativity to where we say, I can't believe this has happened to me? Because there's so many ways to look at it. We could either say, I can't believe this is what's happened, or what am I learning from this, right? And what do I have to go through to grow through this and get connected? And yes, you know, reading scripture is so good. Prayer is so powerful. And listening to worship music, you know, and I feel like, you know, churches, right? Most churches, at least the one that I go to, it's a great church, and they play music right before the pastor comes up and preaches, because in the front of your mind here, music activates the learning center, and so the knowledge center. So when you listen to worship music, you have the ability then to retain more information from the pastor giving the sermon. Right. And so some of the tools that you had mentioned, those are I've found helpful for myself. I throw on music before I read, or I throw on, you know, or I go and run and listen to music. But then I throw in an audiobook while I'm running, because then I have the ability to retain more information, listen with clarity. But I'm also been inspired. So my heart condition's in a place to want to receive that and really open my eyes to it. And so a question I have for you, Paul, is how has your own faith been tested and restored?
Well, for me, it's the biggest challenge is when you're facing challenge, you're asked the question, why? If you ask the question, why is this happening to me, is going to be a very challenging question, because you play the victim. And it often happens because when you play the victim, then you're looking to be the you're looking to shift blame and responsibility. And I think for me is when I turned it around and said, God, what are you trying, as you said, what are you trying to teach me in this situation? What do I need to learn? And when you take it from that perspective, you are changing your perspective, your attitude, and looking for something good in the trial or in the challenge. And when you do that, you're actually able to find it. When you blame and you shift responsibility and you play the victim, you're never going to find basically healing. You're never going to find the direction out of your circumstances. And I know that's hard for people, because when we're being attacked or hurt, we want to protect. And that's a very normal response. But I encourage people, if you're, and I love what you said, I did not know this, what music opens the brain, part of the brain, to learn. We are created to learn, to grow. A lot of people don't like change, but change is inevitable. We can either allow change to work in us, to teach us, to prepare us for the future. And then we, of course, grow into what God's created us to be, or we can resist. And when you play the victim and you don't take responsibility, or you complain, you criticize, you shift that responsibility, you're basically resisting the natural flow of growth. And then what ends up happening is you end up in that negative cycle mentality that affects your mindset, your attitude, and everything around you. And you've been around people when you walk into a room in that attitude. And I think what we need to be open to is, what do I need to learn from this experience? One, was I involved in the actions, the choices that brought this upon me? And then, of course, then you need to be open to change. And that's where a mentor comes in. Or is it something outside of your control? So many people, because they were very fear-based, they want to take control of life circumstances, but life's not made like that. Circumstances are where they are so that we would begin to surrender to those circumstances, so that then, in a sense, God takes over, reveals what he's doing in that circumstance. Because when we surrender, we don't fight against the natural process of change. And I think encourage people, look to the benefit what that circumstance is in. Because, for example, in nature, we have storms, we have all these horrible things that come in weather. But as soon as they're done, you've got rainbows, you've got these wonderful things that come on the other side. And I think one of the things I was trying to get out of reading Job yesterday is, if you know the story of Job, all these things, horrible things happened to him. But once he got into a point of complete surrender and recognizing what God was doing, God quadruply blessed him.
Yes.
And so often during the trial is the lesson. And if we surrender to the lesson, allow it to really help us to grow in our character, we come on the other side, we're much more grateful, we're much more appreciative, we're much more humble, we're a better servant. And we realize we've learned something in that trial. And I think that's very important for people who are going through some challenges of faith.
Absolutely. The pressure's lifted, right? I mean, the weight is gone. We're not walking around carrying it, carrying our shame, our sin. You know, God's taken that. Jesus took that to the cross for us, right? Yeah. And so for us, we don't have to carry that baggage. We don't have to carry that weight. But we can only give it away, only when we surrender. Because if we're not surrendering, we're truly not giving it away and giving it to God. And so I love that. It's so good. Paul, we're at the end here, but I know we've got a couple more segments to go with you. And so when we return, we have another great segment coming up with you. Looking forward to unpacking this even further. And if there's something I love talking about, it is about God. And so I'm glad that we're here today doing that, just that. So we'll be right back, Paul.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We'll be right back. We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
We're back with Paul Peters here on the Inspired Culture. Paul's story is one of redemption, healing, and using your own scars to help others heal. In this segment, we're diving into what it means to truly heal from the past and how to move forward without staying stuck. Paul, it's good to have you for segment 3. And what does it look like? What does it look like healing really look like, not just on the outside, but on the inside too? And how can forgiveness free someone even if they were deeply wronged?
Yeah, thank you, Eric. It's great to be here. Yeah, it's very interesting. I want to make sure that some of the things that I share, one, as one who've gone through that, and I love the term that you use, the scars. Sometimes those scars can be self-inflicted, but most times they can be inflicted by others. And how do you deal with that? Because maybe the scars on the physical sense will heal, because once they're treated, they're going to be healed. But most of us struggle with how do we heal emotionally from the scars? How do we heal from somebody who has hurt us? I've had situations where I've worked with people whose father has sexually abused them for years, or people have been raped. And how does God fit in all of that? How does a lot of the questions people have is, why did God allow that? And, you know, that's a question that we can get into, and I'm more than happy to delve into that. And I've shared before, God does not want anything bad to happen. Bad things happen because we live in a world that has difficulties, and we have people who make choices. Some people who are very evil make choices, i.e. Nazi Germany, I mean, to use as an example. But one of the things I think it's very important, and this is very hard for people, because the power of forgiveness is not for the person that hurt you. It is for you who have been hurt. Because one of the things, the physical healing of a scar can be done and healed through medicine. And the emotional scars of an injury can be healed through forgiveness. And I'm going to explain that so you'll understand. Because a lot of times when we have, quote unquote, been abused or hurt by somebody, we play the victim, or we are victimized, but it doesn't necessarily mean we need to be victimized every day. When we continue to hold on to those hurts and those pains, it's as if we relive that moment. And the crazy thing about it is, once that incident occurs, we often will never ever get a chance to pay that back or to seek some kind of revenge. And that's the last thing we should do. And it's so hard because, you know, one of the things is very important is allowing, in from a biblical perspective, God will address that with that other person. We want to play the judge, we want to play the jury, and often that's impossible for us, and it keeps us in that vicious cycle of playing the victim. And like I said, we end up reliving that moment in the past. It could be 20 years ago. You relive that moment as if it happened yesterday. That's where we don't heal emotionally. And as it pertains to purpose, when we stay stuck, we will not continue to grow. We will stay in that, and that person, in a sense, we will stay tied, connected to that person in our thoughts, in our emotions. And then that person will basically begin to control our life from the moment of the injury throughout until that point of forgiveness. And the forgiveness is, as we've talked about, is simply letting it go. Not letting go of the consequences of what happened. Mm-hmm. It's allowing you to heal. And many times people will need counseling, but letting go of the pain, letting go of the anger, because it is the anger that continues to fester the scar of the emotions. When we let that go and we get to a point, and I know this is hard for people to understand, we begin to love that person like we love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for people to understand, because it is the love, it is the forgiveness that begins to produce the healing emotionally for us in our mind, in our hearts, and throughout our whole body. Because when you don't allow the emotions to heal, it's going to manifest in physical attributes as well. So the power of forgiveness is simply letting go and letting that person, giving that person over to God so that you can begin to heal. And of course, always protect yourself. And there's someone in a situation where you've been abused, never not to be around that person, but you're basically surrendering, letting that person go so they don't continue to plague your mind, plague your heart. And when you're able to do that, you begin to heal emotionally. And that's exactly what happened to me. When I came to a point of surrendering, I had such anger and hatred for my father. Mm. And that's ultimately what led to the addiction with the alcohol and the drugs. When I let that go and I begin to look at my father as if he was a child, he himself was abused. Mm-hmm. He himself was raped by parents. I had a new perspective on who my father was. And I was able to let that go, forgive him, and begin to love him. When I did, I began to heal. And when I began to heal, God began to reveal to me what he's called me to do in my life and to serve other people. Anger, hate can never help you find your purpose. Anger, hate can never help you heal. You've got to let go of that, because the only one you're hurting is yourself when you hold on to that anger. And forgiveness allows you to let go of that. And that's what helped me. And I just encourage any of you, if you're looking to really be healed, you've got to be able to let go of that, not play the victim, and definitely do not allow that person to continue to plague your mind and your heart from an incident that happened maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago, because your life is meant to live to the fullest, and only you can control that decision by how you're going to look at that situation. Are you going to be willing to let that person go and forgive them?
Absolutely, Paul. I love what you're saying there. Letting go. Letting go is so important because we only have one thing that we can control. That's us, right? That's ourselves. We cannot control anything else around us. Now, we have influence, but we don't have control. And so the first thing is taking that ownership and that responsibility in what you're saying here and having a vision for ourselves and what does forgiveness look like? Because when we can give, we can keep, right? So when we give love, like, because forgiveness is a form of love, looking through a lens, you know, changing the glasses from anger to love, we're able to see what you just highlighted with your dad. He is a child too, right? And his upbringing had sin in and around his life and hurt and pain. And so we're only, you know, most of us can only learn in the environments that we're raised in, because that's the influence around us and what we see, and that's what we believe is normal. Yet outside of that, there's a whole other world of healthy. And it's really trying to find that, right? You know, I'm in the process of getting a book published, and we talk about that a little bit. And what you're saying here is, like, you know, you got this, like, sphere, this circle of what you know, right? And this is the environment you live in. And this is, you know, this is the playbook of that environment. Healthy or not, a lot of people choose to stay in that environment because it's survival, instead of living out the life and the calling that God has for you. And so stepping across the great ravine, the Grand Canyon, so call it, into this other circle could be really scary. But once you get in there, you start crawling instead of running because you got to figure out this new way of life. But, you know, the Bible gives you such an incredible roadmap for that, you know, and being able to really lean in and trust. And so that whole forgiveness aspect, I believe is truly magnificent. It's God-honoring, and it helps you truly heal from all the emotional wounds and scars that you've impacted your entire life. And I think everybody, including myself, has those wounds. You know, some are greater than others, but everybody's wounded, right? There's sin in the world. We live in an imperfect world. And so woundedness is quite thriving out there today.
Yeah. And if I can just share, one of the best illustrations from a standpoint of a movie was The Shack. If you've not seen it, I would highly encourage you to your audience to watch it. It's a great story of redemption, a great story of healing, and how a father who was stuck, emotional scars from the loss and murder of his daughter, and the not being able to forgive, and how that impacted his family, his life. And when we can forgive, even to the worst situation where someone murders someone or kills or abuses somebody we care about, there is freedom in that, because part of that is recognizing that we're not in control. I love that you said that. And the only thing we can control is how we're going to view a situation. And if we allow that control, that situation to control us, it will ruin our lives. And God does not want us to ruin our lives. That's where we have to take the power back from the abuser and recognize that even though we were quote unquote abused or hurt, we don't have to remain that way. And I think people need to understand circumstances, situations happen, but we can take control of how we're going to reflect and view that situation.
Absolutely. And we've all been created by the one, right? Yeah. And he doesn't get it wrong. And so he's created us each in his own image, and we're perfectly designed the way that he's created us to be. And he doesn't waste a life, right? Everybody has a purpose. He's given everybody work to do, a life to live that's extremely fruitful. And it's for us to be able to see that, right? And, you know, the abuser that's out there stealing that from us, you know, we have to say no. And just for everybody watching and listening in, you know, you're worth so much more, and you need to know that. And it's okay. Like, you can get through this, whatever you're facing.
Can I probably give the best visual example that I can think of right now?
Yes.
You have a father, being God. You have a son who allowed himself to be tortured and punished to basically sacrifice, surrender himself to be put on the cross. And at one point in his humanness, he looks to his father and says, "Father, why have thou forsaken me?" which is the question that every person who's been abused or hurt asks. Why did you allow this to happen? But ultimately, in his surrendering, he recognized their greater good in that surrender and that sacrifice by allowing himself to be murdered. He then redeemed all of mankind. Mm. And we don't always see it during the midst of the pain, what God is doing and how he allows certain things to happen. And for example, my story and probably your story and many other stories, God allows the pain because in the pain comes the purpose.
Yes.
Where we can take our scars and we can help other people who are venturing down that same path to basically turn around and walk alongside them during their periods of low. We can inspire them that they don't necessarily, which is what we do at our mentoring center. We try to encourage these kids not to choose the same path as many of their family members, which have led to drugs and death in prison.
Oh, that is so good, Paul. And what a great illustration there too. And, you know, the pain that Christ went through saved mankind and gave us all eternal life. The best gift anybody can get ever, you know, and how much what did we have to do to earn it? Nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We didn't have to do a thing. God did it all for us.
Yeah.
And that's how much he loves us, that he sacrificed his one and only son for us.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate you really sharing that.
Sure.
Very much grateful. So Paul, your vulnerability is such a gift. If someone wants to reach out and follow you or your work or bring your message to their group or event, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can find me on Paul Peters Online is one way. They can also reach out to me. My email is Reese, R-E-E-C-E, 052301 at att.net, or my phone number is 704-249-7418. I'm more than willing to come and speak. I am going to be doing workshops on how to help people find their purpose. So that's the best way to reach me.
Awesome. Well, Paul, I mean, it's been a pleasure having you here. And I'm excited that we have another segment together after this. But just for any of you guys watching and listening in, Paul's the real deal. And so he's a man of faith. He's invested in growing people and helping people overcome and win their battles that they're facing. And so, you know, definitely intentionally seek out Paul, because he's a guy that's gonna, you know, led by the Lord, going to be able to make an impact within yourself and your organization. So we'll be right back, Paul. We're gonna head to a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more.
Okay, looking forward to it.
We'll be right back. We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
Well, we're excited to have Paul back for our final segment. I'm joined here with Paul. His life speaks to what it means to leave a legacy, not just through big platforms, but through quiet, consistent faithfulness. Let's talk about how you live a legacy life starting right now. Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
Yes. And we are here, final four. I love it. What does it mean to live a legacy life starting today? And how can someone make a difference even in the small unseen moments?
Well, I think, for example, I look at many folks in history, Mahatma Gandhi. I think about Abraham Lincoln, think about Martin Luther King, the choices they made and the legacy they left. And when we look at the choices we make today, we don't typically make choices to say, okay, I want to leave this particular legacy. Hmm. When we make choices and we walk in character and we walk in integrity and we walk in service and we walk in love, by default, we will leave the legacy that we're called to live. And that's why when you look at Gandhi and you look at Mother Teresa and you look at Martin Luther and Lincoln, and there's so many, history is strewn with many of them. They were sacrificial. They lived out their purpose, even though they may have not known exactly what their purpose. Purpose is always much clearer in hindsight when you look at somebody's life, and it's like, oh my God, they so lived out their purpose.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you know, think about, we are to live and to make the choices, because the only time we can control is now. We get frustrated because we try to rewrite the past. We get frustrated and anxious because we're trying to control the future. But the only thing that we can control is the now and the choices we make. And I think about when Moses was going out and he asked God, he said, who should I tell them sent me? And God says, tell them I am, the present moment, the present God. And I think when we're trying to live a legacy and you're living by choices, conscious choices to make a difference in people's life, you will live a legacy. I put this in my book, but I do this every once in a while. I will walk through a cemetery. I love to walk through, and you don't have an opportunity to leave a lot of information on that tombstone, you know, and it's the day you're born and the day you die and the little dash. The dash represents your life. And that dash is your legacy. It's what you've done in your life, not necessarily what kind of work you did. What impact did you make on your kids? What impact did you make on your community? What did you leave, either music, writing, or whatever, so people will remember you? And it's not so much remember you as a person, but what impact did you make? Did you impact your family? Did you impact? Because when you look at, and it's interesting, if I could share briefly, they did a comparison between Jonathan Edwards, who was a religious leader back in the 1700s during the Reformation period, during the time of the Revolutionary War, and an inmate, and they followed the lineage of their lives. And under Jonathan Edwards' lineage were judges and people who were very successful, and then somebody who was of a bad character, a litany of people who did not make good choices. And when you, because ultimately that's the only one you can control, when you're making good conscious choices to impact, positively impact people, it's going to affect your children and the children and children's children. I found out recently that I am of the lineage from Scotland of Sir Robert de Bruce, who was the King of Scotland. And so part of the choices that he made impacted his children and ultimately, you know, and it's funny because my favorite color is purple. Purple represents royalty. So
yes.
You look at it from history's perspective and you recognize that history is just backwards. And the history that we're going to make are going forward hundreds of years. What are people going to remember me for or you for? And it has everything to do with the choices we make today and the people we impact. Are we speaking kindness? Are we helping one another? Are we taking an opportunity to get out of our own little world and help somebody who's in need? That's where legacy is made. It starts in the now. It starts in the present moment.
Absolutely. I love that. You know, it's what comes up for me is the present. You sharing that, the present moment, because we can spend all of our time upstairs, so call it, ruminating on things in our mind about what had happened or what's going to be, but nothing happens, right? We're thinking about it, we're talking about it, but in the present moment is where you take action, you know, and I think that, you know, that comes with having at least a vision of, you know, your calling and understanding that. And then having the appropriate systems in place and habits to support that in the moment presence, to be intentional in how you're spending your time and what you're doing and the decisions that you're making. I think that's so true. And you know, those choices in the moment make the loudest impact for sure. So I have a question for you on that.
Yeah.
Why do the quiet choices often lead to the loudest impact?
Well, it's interesting. I think about where Elijah had accomplished a huge endeavor in regards to defeating, you know, the priests of Baal. It's a story we can get into, but basically he had done the miraculous and he was exhausted and God basically told him to rest. And it said, was God in the storm? Was God in the earthquake? No, God was in the still small voice. And from the standpoint of going back to what I said before, how God spoke to me, God wants to reveal his purpose and his plan for your life. But part of the condition for us, and that's why surrender and brokenness is so vital, we've got to be in a listening state. Because if we're not into a listening state, we're going to miss what he's trying to tell us. And that often comes in that quietness. That's why prayer and meditation is so important, because I tell people God exists in the past, present, future simultaneously, because he created time, the element of time. Because of that, he knows exactly what your future is going to be like. He knows what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, 20 years from now. In order for him to give us the guidance of direction, as I shared in the Proverbs 3, where trust in the Lord with all thine heart, we've got to be quiet in order to hear his instructions. A student going through school cannot graduate high school unless he's a teachable, unless he listens and he applies those things. Same thing with God. He created us for a specific purpose. He knows exactly how we're made. He says we're woven in a sense, hand woven. None of us, I tell people, none of us, we're all different. So I tell people, look at your finger. We all have different fingerprints. There's no two people alike. And because of that, we've got to take our instruction from the person who created us. And that only occurs when we quiet ourselves enough to listen and to be willing to apply what he tells us to do. And that's why it's so important that we quiet ourselves. And I would encourage people to have a regular meditation prayer time and then spend time in God's word, because he's going to reveal his will, his purpose in your lives. And it's all going to be in regards to doing things that are going to bless you, because he wants all good things to happen to us.
Absolutely. Well, and I love that. And when you're in your purpose, and I don't know if you've found this, Paul, but I have. I was in sales for 19 years. As a leader in a company, and I just remember how hard it was to open doors, constantly opening doors, trying to get a meeting, trying to meet with people. I mean, I went to places 27 times before somebody'd even meet with me, just to get a meeting. You know, and how hard is it to pry the doors open? But when you're walking with the Lord, from my experience, in the purpose that he's given you, it's the opposite. The door's open for you. All you have to do is be present and show up.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And that's just so neat. It's so neat to experience, because it's exhausting trying to open all the doors by yourself. It's exhausting. It's tiring. Yeah. It's grindful. And, you know, when you're in your purpose, God's like, hey, I've got you. This is the next door you got to go through. It just requires you to trust him to walk through it.
Can I share a particular scripture that is my go-to for helping people understand God's will? It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, offer yourselves a living sacrifice, the surrendering part. Instead, and then it says to avoid those things that are going to bring you down the wrong path. Mm. When you do that and you focus and listen to God, you will understand his perfect will. Part of it is you've got to be willing to surrender, because sometimes he may reveal something that you don't want to do. It's uncomfortable, but he knows what's on the other side of that. Much like working out. If you want the muscles, you're going to have to go through the pain, the breaking down of the muscles. And so part of that is we've got to be willing to offer ourselves to him in order to get the things we want out of him, because his God desires to give us the desires of our heart, but it's under his condition, because he created us. He knows what's best for us. So.
Oh, that is so true. Paul, you couldn't have said it better, and the scripture's spot on in that. You know, and it's just refreshing. It's very Thank refreshing you. To hear that. So we are here at the end. We've got about a minute left. What would you tell someone who feels invincible or unimportant right now?
I would tell them that that's not true. I would tell them that they are made in God's image. I would tell them that they're beautiful in how they were created. I would tell them that disregard anything that they may be thinking that in regards to that they're not who they are. They're uniquely designed. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful in how they are and who they are. And part of that is we've got to make sure we identify with what God says we are, not what others think we are. Because most people don't really give a hoot about who we are. If we focus more on the truth giver, i.e. the creator who created us, we would begin to listen to those things, and then we would begin to think those things, and we would begin to feel those things. And that's why when we are created in God's image, we are created to be his image bearers. And part of that is we've got to stop listening to the things that are not accurate or not true. And we've got to stop comparing ourselves to somebody else, because that person was created the way they were created. You were created uniquely designed and beautiful as you are. So live in your authenticity, live in who you are meant to be, and be the person you're meant to be. When you do that, you will begin to see that you were created to do great things.
Oh, Well, for all the listeners listening in, that was fantastic to hear from Paul. And it's great wisdom coming from him. Take that to heart, because that will help create a lot of growth in your life. And it's all really, really true. Paul, thank you for joining us on today's show, The Inspired Culture. It's been a blessing and an honor to have you. We're so grateful and appreciate your time, your wisdom, and your heart to love others well.
Thanks, Eric. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, it really, really has. Legacy isn't built in stages or spotlights. It's built in the quiet, in every unseen sacrifice, in every life touched by compassion. A legacy takes shape. Paul, your story has reminded us that each of us matters. We are here on purpose for a purpose. Thank you for being with us today on The Inspired Culture. I'm your host, Eric Himes. Until next time, keep living with passion, purpose, and the courage to inspire others by how you live.